This morning, we're going to be out of Exodus chapter 17. If you do not have a Bible with you this morning, please raise your hand. We'd be happy to get a Bible to you. Ushers are coming forward with Bibles. If you do not own a Bible, this Bible is yours to keep. If you do own a Bible and you just forgot yours this morning, you can just place it back on the shelves when you're done this morning. Exodus chapter 17, when you get your Bible. Exodus chapter 17. Let's go ahead and stand this morning for the reading of God's Word. And while you're standing, I forgot to give another announcement. part of our annual meeting and also the budget adjustment was to add a position. And the reason why I'm announcing this is because I oversee the staff. And so we are going to be adding a preschool director position, part-time. All of our staff is part-time except for Pastor Greg. So we want to get Nicole some help. She's taking on a lot. We're adding a Saturday service starting in January. So we have a lot of needs in the children's department area. So we would like to split it out and give her an assistant that will be our preschool director position. So we'll start taking resumes. Actually, I just already got one this morning. So we'll try and post that this week. As far as the job description, it'll be posted, but it'll be somewhat whatever Nicole needs. Okay? So if you're interested in that, please get a resume in. You can turn that into myself and let me know that you're interested, and we will be filling that role starting January 1st. So praise the Lord for that. And I would, before we get into the Word, I just want to say, you know, Krista wasn't able to be here for the first service. If you could pray for her and her family. We got a call right away early this morning that her 50-year-old cousin passed away in the night. So if you could just be praying for she and her family, that would be greatly appreciated. Exodus chapter 17, starting in verse 1, it says, "All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, 'Give us water to drink.' And Moses said to them, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?' But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, 'Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?' So Moses cried to the Lord, 'What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and what shall come out of it, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" Let's pray. Lord, just thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I pray that this time will be about your word. Lord, may it not be about my word. Lord, may your spirit move in our midst. Lord, as we sang earlier about rain down, Lord, I just pray that your word and your spirit will rain down on us this morning. Lord, may we be looking to see what you have for us to grow in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Okay, first of all, you know, we talk a lot about God knows all things. God knows our need. Nothing is a surprise to them. You know, he wasn't standing there, and Israel came along through the desert. They were thirsty, and God said, "Oh, okay. Which angel had the responsibility of getting them water? Raise your hand. Let's find out which one." He wasn't surprised. We talk about that a lot. There's no surprise to God when we all of a sudden come along to having a need. But God knew their need, but he also already had a plan for their need. And that's sometimes what we forget. We understand, okay, no surprises to God. God knows our need. But when you reach the point of having a need, God already actually has a plan for that need. But some of the downfall for us when it comes to our need and our relationship to God is we sometimes tend to confuse our wants from our needs, don't we? I need a cell phone. How many need a cell phone? Oh, two. I had no one from the first service raise their hands. I'm coming down for a high five. People, thank you. Okay, that's true. We tend to sometimes confuse our wants with our needs. When I was 8 years old, I don't remember what came on the television, but we were sitting there as a family watching television. My dad got up out of the chair upset with whatever came on the TV. And by the way, mind you, back then it was nothing compared to what's on the TV today. But he got really upset, walked over to the TV, unplugged the TV, wheeled it out on the front porch. And from the time I was 8 years old till I left home, we did not have a TV in our house. Yes, exactly. And my friends at school, when I told them, I think their face melted off of their head. How do you exist? How do you live without a TV? But I have to tell you, I never missed it. We had a great time. It was not a need. And sometimes in our lives, we confuse what our wants are with what our needs are. How many went up for Black Friday? Couple? Okay. I did. It's always very entertaining. Lord bless you for taking the last one. Thank you. Can we pray for a moment for you? This is really a want and not a need. My family needs that. I'm kidding. But so many times we get confused of what our wants are versus our needs. But the thing with God is He sees our true need better than we do. Doesn't He? Because so many times we try sorting through what our wants are versus what our needs are, and God sees through it all and sees what our real need is. They were thirsty. That's a pretty basic need. This isn't them sitting there, Moses, come here. Okay, we need to talk. I need new shocks on our wagon for our family to get through this desert. It's a little bumpy. Need new shocks on my wagon. They were thirsty. You can't get more basic of a need than that. This was a genuine, true need. Or they would die. Could be kind of considered like these kids in this. All right. Obviously, they had a thirst need. But I think they had a bigger need and have mom or dad put down the camera and help them. Mom, really. But oftentimes, you know, with Israel at this time, they had a need of thirst. But what God understood and what they did not understand is they had a spiritual thirst as much as a physical thirst. They had a need to alter, which is, they had a need to alter their reliance on the known to allow faith to grow. That's why if you read this passage, it's like, how can you even compare or talk about back in Egypt? You were beaten, you were imprisoned, you were slaves, you were tortured, you watched family members die, but for some reason, you are looking all the way back to Egypt saying, why'd you take us out of Egypt? And so many times we can be so consumed by our physical need that we forget that this is about a spiritual need. And so Israel being thirsty actually was them being able to see their need to alter their reliance of what they knew before of being able to get food, drink from their captors, to now altering that reliance on what they knew to allow faith to grow to enjoy a reliance on God. But so many times we want to be where we're at comfortably in relying on what is known. So many times we want to write the script for God, don't we? But the great thing about this whole passage in Exodus, as Pastor Greg has been taking us through this, is if you look at the way it is all structured, Israel being brought out of Egypt and out of captivity and out of slavery, and from the moment they're set free to the moment they arrive at the promised land and look forward to the promised land, it's amazing the correlation that we can see how God works in and through us. From the moment of freedom from slavery, from freedom from the slavery of our sin, through faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who freed us from that sin, to now experiencing this journey, looking forward to the promised land, heaven. But through that journey, we have to see our need to alter our dependence, our reliance on what is known so that we can grow in our faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." But we want our needs to be met with things that are easy and seen, don't we? Secondly, God used their need to introduce himself. Some of you may say, whoa. God introduced himself to Israel in Egypt with the plagues and bringing them out. That's true. What I'm talking about is God used their need to introduce himself into a situation. Let me give you a very, very shallow, horrible example. I am prone to get in the flesh periodically while I'm driving. Just being honest with you. I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, but Yuba City has a lot of stoplights. And I tend to somehow hit all of them. Anyone else have that? Thank you. I thought there was some kind of GPS on my car. Here comes Dave. Hit the stoplight. And it always seems to happen when I'm in a hurry. And I'm not really feeling in the spirit. When I get to a stoplight and I'm in a hurry, thank you, Lord. I'm just not there. It's like, of course it's got to turn red. So God has taught me. That was a while ago when I was living in my sin. God has since taught me that even in a simple, shallow, ridiculous situation like that I have issues with, I can introduce God into it. That my need, I'm in a hurry, and are you kidding me? Is God's way of saying, Dave, I need you to introduce me into this moment. And it's because of that, sometimes I get in the flesh a little bit now, but most of the time, I hit a red light. And it's always a constant reminder. And now I get to smile. Because I think God has taught me that in these moments, he wants to introduce himself into it. Maybe I'm not ready for what he's got at the end of my drive. So I need to get ready by introducing him into it. But when it comes to our need, it is always, next point is, it is always, always about the relationship. Always. You know, I had a coworker several years ago and had several opportunities to be able to witness to her. In fact, her son came and worked for us for a little while and he accepted the Lord, which is exciting. Witnessed to her several times. To this day, I don't believe she's yet accepted the Lord, but we would have a very open dialogue. About things. She would refer to God as the man upstairs. And she would periodically just say, "Dave, I just think that the man upstairs has a problem with me. He's got some issue with me." And she proceeded to tell me about a time where she and her family went to the river and were doing all of these different things, and she proceeded to tell me all of the horrible things that went wrong with her outing as a family. And she said, finally, I looked up and I said, "What do you want from me?" And I stopped her. I said, "Angie, you just did it." I said, "You looked up." And I said, "How many times when things are going good for you, do you look up? Why does it take our need for all of a sudden us to stop and look up?" Israel's need was all about, in our needs, no matter what it is, and I know there's some pretty significant needs in this room, no matter what that need is, small or great, it is always about the relationship. God desperately wants a relationship with you. From the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve walked with him in the garden and sin came in and stopped that, put a wedge in that relationship, from that time until this moment, God is all about a relationship with you. And when needs come in our lives, it is God's way to introduce himself into the moments of your day, into the experiences of your life. Just like Israel, having thirst, look to him. But you know what? That's great to talk about the relationship. Sounds all warm and fuzzy. But let's go back, okay? Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. God sent Moses to tell them that he is freeing them from Egypt, and he's going to take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay? Here we are, they're in a land, and not only, nope, don't see milk and honey, I don't even see water. Hello? What happened to the announcement? You announced there'd be milk and honey. I'm thirsty. And so many times we, in our relationship with God, say, look at all God's promises and know that the destination is heaven, wonderful things in the Christian life, so many things to be thankful for. And we come along, it's like, wait a second. Okay, Christian life should be milk and honey. What's going on here? Why do I have this huge need? And what did Israel do? Their response? Complain. They just complained. We have some quotes about complaining I'm going to share with you. First one is, what's behind door number one? Okay. The only thing complaining does is convince other people that you are not in control. Isn't that true? The more you complain about your problems, the more problems you will have to complain about. Champions train, losers complain. Complaining is good for you as long as you're not complaining to the person you're complaining about. Isn't that the truth? And here, that's exactly where we find Israel, by the way. Okay? Who brought them out of Egypt? God. Here they are, no water. Moses, why aren't you getting us water? You brought us out of Egypt. It's like, okay, they're complaining, but they know God brought them out, and they're asking Moses why he brought them out of Egypt and why he did all of this. Because they don't want to complain to the one who really did it. Our response to our need is a good indicator of the depth of our relationship with God. Our response to our need is a good indicator of the depth of our relationship with God. I had a Bible scholar who was teaching a seminar one day who said, "You cannot be a true prayer warrior unless you have yelled at God." The thought he was trying to communicate was to communicate the intimacy in communicating your true feelings to God. But I tend to differ with that thought and philosophy, because we have the privilege of being able to look at God's servant Job, who no one else in the Bible is there a record that God looked at Satan and said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Tell you what, I would like to pattern myself after him. And through all of the needs, through all of the heartache, through all of the things that Job went through, he acknowledged his relationship with God, and the true depth of his relationship was revealed as he said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How you respond to your need is a good indicator of the depth of your relationship with God. Do you pray when a need comes along, or do you complain? Do you go straight to the person, to the one who's causing the need, or who's involved in the need, or do you just complain about it? I use the word vent, makes me feel better. And if you ever see me venting, please look away. It's very embarrassing. I do talk to myself. But lastly, God met their need in an unexpected way. As I mentioned before, we tend to want to write the script for God. God could have, in his sovereignty, could have had Israel come out of Egypt. He literally could have painted the entire walk and the entire journey to the promised land in green plush plains, flat, smooth, with a river running through, never to thirst, never to have need. Have somebody off to the side grilling some steaks, never to be hungry. Pastor Greg preached about a couple weeks ago. He could have done all of that in advance. So then you get to the point where he doesn't do that in advance. They have this huge need. Death is potentially on the door because they cannot survive without water. And God's answer to this need is, "I've got a rock." It's like, okay, you bring water down from heaven. You created the seas and the streams and the rivers and the lakes and the ponds, and you could create a well right here, and you choose a rock. But God will meet our needs in the unexpected places and in unexpected ways. A few weeks ago, maybe it was a month ago, we have one of our lead operators at my other job. He doesn't speak English very well. In fact, when I first started working there, I would walk up and he and a group, the crew, would be talking, and I'd walk up and kind of stand there for a second, and when they stopped, I'd just say, "See." And they would just look at me. That's all the Spanish I knew, so smiling, "All right." But we've developed a great relationship. But he's what I would consider a rock. He's not somebody that he's nose to the grindstone, doesn't hand out compliments, and he is a very hard worker, loving pieces. He and I have a very good relationship. And about a month ago or so, I just had a couple days, I don't know if you've had those, where it just seemed like nothing was going right. And it seemed like every feedback, everything that was said was negative. Just over and over and over and over and over. And at first, I'm the type, I don't need compliments. But when it first started happening, I'm the type where it's like, all right, it's a challenge. Bring it on. And then after a little while, it's like, okay, all right, this is nice. And then after a little while, okay, I'm done. I've had enough. And then after a while, it's, okay, really? I can't handle anymore. And it was in that moment I walked out to the plant and talked to him about something. And just to make it light, I just said, hey, you're the man. Started walking away. He said, no, you're the man. I started walking away, and he grabbed my arm, and I turned around, and he, in his very broken English, started bathing me in compliments. Pointing to his head, trying to communicate how smart I am and what I'm doing, and glad he didn't say loco when he said that. I do know what that means. Just bathe me in compliments. I said thank you, and I walked away and made a beeline to the door outside the plant. Please don't talk to me, please don't talk to me, please don't talk to me, smiling. Get outside and just found a quiet place. Because I knew as soon as he said that, as soon as the words broken English, struggling to communicate it, started coming out, I knew that was God's water from rock. And so many times we're missing out on so much because we desperately want God to just fit in our comfort zone and meet our needs exactly the way we want Him to meet our needs. And it's these moments where He can explode out of a rock so that you can know and experience that the God of the universe paused with everything else going around and all of the universe being held together by His hands, and He took a moment to pause to let water come out of a rock for you. Unexplained, unexpected. And that is unexpected. But it's Scripture, that's good. But we spend so much time working so hard for us not to have any needs. Don't we? Is God saying, wait, whoa. It's those times that greater than any other time that I can make myself known to you through unexpected places, because it's at that time. There is no question in your mind and in your life that it wasn't you. That it wasn't something you created, something you did. That all of a sudden God swept in. And it was only Him that could have done it. And He does that so that He can get the glory. So that He can get the glory. And why is that? What I have found in my life, the reason for that is because the next time, guess where I'm going to want to go? I want to go to the glory. And also, God meeting our needs through unexpected places and unexpected ways is also an ability to create a genuine dependence on Him. And why is that? You depend on someone. It's either yourself, your spouse, your boss, your pastor, your friends. You depend on someone. The question is, who are you going to choose to depend upon? with all of us, all the things going on in the world saying, I'm independent. I'm going to do my thing. I don't need anybody. We are all dependent on someone. The question is, are you willing to have that dependence be on the ruler of the universe? Or are you going to want to stay in your comfort zone and just keep relying on yourself? What are your needs? On whom do you rely on to meet those needs? Amen. Amen. Because Hosea chapter 13, verse 6, now here we come from this point and fast forward to the book of Hosea, chapter 13, verse 6. Listen to the words that God says about Israel. When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud and forgot me. First of all, may that never be said of us. But secondly, we are so desperate in our world to protect ourselves from needs. But typically, as this passage says, typically at the end of the road of no needs, of being satisfied, pride sweeps in and we forget to look up. A few takeaways from this morning. When a need arises, remember God always has a plan, and it's all about the relationship. When a need arises, remember God already has a plan, and it's always about the relationship. Takeaway number two, look for the unexpected blessing. And listen closely. And be the unexpected blessing. Look for the unexpected blessing, but also be the unexpected blessing. Thirdly, spend more time identifying your spiritual needs rather than your physical needs. You know, when we come across the gifts of the Spirit or fruits of the Spirit, you know, some of us would rather have Galatians 5 say, and the fruits of the Spirit, which are gifts to us, fruits of the Spirit are success, power, fame, prestige, and wealth. Don't we? But the gifts of the Spirit are fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith. So spend more time identifying your spiritual needs than you do your physical needs. If you walked up to someone and asked them, what are your physical needs? I can imagine, oh man, my car is struggling, I need a new car. My iPhone cracked, I need a new case or a new screen, even though only these two admitted they need their phone. But if we walked up to each other and asked us, what needs do you have physically, we have no problem usually identifying, boom, 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 what our physical needs are. Got a crick in my back. But how often do we as a family, do we as a body, work together to strive to find out and hear and talk about and address your spiritual needs? Pastor Greg does a great job of that as our lead pastor. But how frequently do you stop and take the time to assess your spiritual needs? And guess what? When we have a physical need, car's breaking down, we go out car shopping. We take it to the mechanic. Spiritual needs, what action do you take to do it, to take care of it? I'm lacking in this area. I'm lacking this area. It's one thing to identify it. It's another thing to take it to the next step and do something about your spiritual need. And that's where we come to Jesus. I love how Pastor Greg ends each message in Exodus on Jesus. And in John chapter 4, we look briefly at the woman at the well. Because we have this great situation where Jesus comes to the well and he talks to the woman. And here we are at a well. She came, obviously they need water. Jesus asks her to get him a drink. And he said, "I have water that you do not know of. The water I have to give you, you will never thirst again." I love her response. Don't see anything for you to draw the water out. I have something to draw the water out. What? There again, focusing on the physical. And Jesus said, "No. I have living water." And some of you, just like the woman at the well, may have never experienced the Savior. And I just want to put a quick plea out to you. You will continue down this road, thirsty, always constantly trying to meet that thirst in your life, trying to fill it with all sorts of different things in your life. And there is only one. There is only one Savior that can truly quench that thirst and meet all your needs, and that's Jesus. For those of you that do know Jesus as your Savior, several years ago, quite a few years ago, I was pursuing the Christian music industry, just kind of dabbling in it, seeing what goes into it. And I went to a music convention in Nashville. Michael W. Smith was there, other producers and songwriters were there giving workshops. And I'll never forget this one workshop teacher said, "You know what? You guys with these fluffy, feel-good songs, you need to cut it out." He said, "Not everything ends in a happy ending." I just thought, wow, how cynical. And I walked away and went back to my hotel room that night, and I could not get that out of my head. And I sat down, and I just started writing a song. Sometimes it's a sentence, sometimes it's a couple lines. And this particular night, I wrote the whole song when I sat down. It was just, I felt like God just, boom, was exactly what I needed. And it's not a feel-good, happy-ending song. And this is how it goes. Walking through the desert of this thing that we call life, the sands of sin surround us with Satan's awful plight. The heat pounding upon me, the pressures of this world, my soul drying within me, I cry out for the Lord. Where is the water of your word? I'm searching for the spring of life that I once heard. Show me now the well of life that never will run dry. Quench this longing thirst for you before this weary soul dies. Temptation swirls around me and whips against my face. How can I continue in this godless place? There's too many around me who've fallen on their way. Vultures circle over and I hit my knees to pray. Where is the water of your word? I'm searching for the spring of life that I once heard. Show me now the well of life that never will run dry. Quench this longing thirst for you before this weary soul dies. And God taught me a very valuable lesson that night. He is the happy ending. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed is he who thirsts for righteousness, for he will be filled." I didn't have to write about the filling. I just have to be thirsty for him. If there is no greater need that you have spiritually this morning, and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, I challenge you. Start looking at the surroundings that we're in, that we are walking through a desert. As much as we are pursuing comfort and wonderful things in this life, it is a desert. And we have got to keep that frame of mind to constantly maintain a thirst for God that can only be gotten in the water of His Word. Lord, I just thank You so much for this morning. Lord, I pray that You will be with each one here. Lord, You know exactly where each individual is and what their need is, their physical need and their spiritual need. And Lord, I just pray that You will truly be in our midst right now in this moment. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to give You the opportunity. If You would say, Dave, Pastor Dave, you were talking about the living water. I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior. I have a thirst, an eternal thirst that can never be quenched. I've tried different things, but I need Jesus. And I've never accepted Him as my Savior. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you in this moment? I see that hand. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? I see that hand. Praise the Lord. I ask you both to seek someone out. I'll be in the back. Please come talk to me. Jesus is waiting for living water to quench that eternal thirst. And how many would say, Dave, what God led you to talk about, I'm there. I'm pursuing having no needs. I'm pursuing comfort. I'm pursuing things that aren't really a need. I need to get my thirst for Him back. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Yes. See those hands. Yes. See those hands. Thank you. I need that thirst for my Savior again. Amen. Lord, You saw the hands, but Lord, greater than seeing hands, Lord, You see the hearts. And Lord, I just pray that You will sweep in this moment. And Lord, for those of us that know You, I just pray that You'll help us. Give us a thirst for You. Help us not to feel like we can't go moments, can't go days without being in the water of Your Word and experiencing being consumed by You. Lord, thank You. I just pray that You will continue to work. In Jesus' name, amen.